Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from one of my own works, Let Your Kingdom Come. Now, it's a book at Amazon.com if you're interested in that. You can download the PDF of this book right here at Sermon Audio, parts one and two. You'll see two PDFs to cover the whole thing. We're in the book of Ezekiel. It's causing some grief, I think, to some people to have to sit through the reading of the book of Ezekiel. We're not doing the whole book. But my commitment in this study is to go to every scripture possible about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And I found so much, and especially in Ezekiel, the parts that we just want to write off and say, well, that can't happen. But you know what? It can. I'm in chapter 44, where we start talking about the prince. There's a prince coming. Just listen carefully. Then he brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces toward the east, but it was shut. And the Lord said to me, "This gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter by it, because the Lord God of Israel has entered by it. Therefore it shall be shut. For the prince, because he is the prince, he may sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by way of the vestibule of the gateway and go out the same way." Now, this man that's eating bread before the Lord, obviously he's not the Lord. This is not Jesus. The prince is not Jesus. Reading on, "Also he brought me by way of the north gate to the front of the temple. And so I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And I fell on my face. And the Lord said to me, 'Son of man, mark well. See with your eyes and hear with your ears all that I say to you concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord and all its laws. Mark well who may enter the house, and all who go out from the sanctuary.'" Yes, this house of God, the one that Isaiah saw and all the others saw that I've been showing you, definitely not Zerubbabel's temple, not the refurbished temple of Herod. No, a holy place, a truly holy place where the Lord himself will be entering. I'm reading on. "Now say to the rebellious, to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, O house of Israel, let us have no more of all your abominations. When you brought in foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to defile it, my house, and when you offered my food, the fat and the blood, then they broke my covenant because of all your abominations. And you have not kept charge of my holy things, but you have set others to keep charge of my sanctuary for you. Thus says the Lord God, no foreigner, uncircumcised in heart or uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter my sanctuary, including any foreigner who is among the children of Israel. But priests and Levites will minister." Are these resurrected? Or are these part of our priesthood, the royal priesthood that we... I don't know who these people are, but they are called Levites, and they're called priests, and they're in our future. I'm reading on. "The Levites, who went far from me when Israel went astray, who strayed away from me after their idols, they shall bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, as gatekeepers of the house and ministers of the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifices for the people. They shall stand before them to minister to them. Because they minister to them before their idols and cause the house of Israel to fall into iniquity, therefore I have raised my hand in an oath against them, says the Lord God, that they shall bear their iniquity. And they shall not come near me to minister to me as priest, nor come near any of my holy things, nor into the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Nevertheless, I will make them keep charge of the temple for all its work and for all that has to be done in it. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister to me. and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God. They shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall be, whenever they enter the gates of the inner court, that they shall put on linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates of the inner court or within the house. They shall have linen turbans on their heads and linen trousers on their bodies. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat. When they go out to the outer court, to the people, they shall take off their garments in which they have ministered, leave them in the holy chambers, and put on other garments. And in their holy garments they shall not sanctify the people. Now we've got some rules for these priests. Now keep reading all of this, because it is your future and mine too. They shall neither shave their heads nor let their hair grow long, but they shall keep their hair well trimmed. No priest shall drink wine when he enters the inner court. They shall not take as wife a widow or a divorced woman, but take virgins of the descendants of the house of Israel, or widows of priests. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. In controversy, they shall stand as judges and judge it according to my judgments. They shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my appointed meetings, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. They shall not defile themselves by coming near a dead person, only for father or mother, for son or daughter, for brother or unmarried sister may they defile themselves. After he is cleansed, they shall count 7 days for him. And on the day that he goes to the sanctuary to minister in the sanctuary, he must offer his sin offering in the inner court, says the Lord God. It shall be in regard to their inheritance that I am their inheritance. You shall give them no possession in Israel, for I am their possession. They shall eat the grain offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. Every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. The best of all fruits, first fruits of any kind, and every sacrifice of any kind from all your sacrifices shall be the priest's. Also you shall give to the priest the first of your ground meal, to cause a blessing to rest on your house. The priest shall not eat anything, bird or beast, that died naturally or was torn by wild beasts. Well, that was chapter 44. We go on to 45, where we have a closer look at the division of land in the new Israel. First, a district for the Lord. Now, all of this should sound foreign to you, because it hasn't happened yet. And it hasn't, even though it was predicted hundreds of years before Jesus came, this did not happen. Here's a district for the Lord. Moreover, when you divide the land by lot into inheritance, you shall set apart a district for the Lord, a holy section of the land. Its length shall be 25,000 cubits, and the width 10,000. It shall be holy throughout its territory all around. Of this there shall be a square plot for the sanctuary, 500 by 500 rods, with 50 cubits around it for an open space. So this is the district you shall measure: 25,000 cubits long, 10,000 wide. It shall be in the sanctuary, the most holy place. It shall be a holy section of the land belonging to the priests, the ministers of the sanctuary, who come near to minister to the Lord. It shall be a place for their houses and a holy place for the sanctuary. An area 25,000 cubits long and 10,000 wide shall belong to the Levites, the ministers of the temple. They shall have 20 chambers as a possession. Now, in the Old Testament, you know what was given to the priests scattered throughout the whole land of Israel. This is different, folks. This is so totally different. Now, what about the people and the prince? You shall appoint as the property of the city an area 5,000 cubits wide, 25,000 long, adjacent to the district of the holy section. Now, we're looking at rectangles, basically. Rectangles of property covering the entire land of Israel. Huge rectangles, miles, miles and miles. But as you see here, adjacent to the holy section that we just read about. It shall belong to the whole house of Israel. The prince shall have a section on one side and the other of the holy district and the city's property. So you've got the holy in the middle, and you've got the prince has some land on either side of it, bordering on the holy district and the city's property, extending westward on the west side, eastward on the east side. The length shall be side by side with one of the tribal portions, from the west border to the east border. The land shall be his possession in Israel, and my princes shall no more oppress my people, but they shall give the rest of the land to the house of Israel according to their tribes. So here the Lord is correcting the abuses of former priests and Levites. Now, coming up, there he was correcting the abuses of princes that they've had before. But now the things about the priests and Levites of the past. Thus says the Lord God, enough, O princes of Israel, remove violence and plundering, execute justice and righteousness, and stop dispossessing my people. You shall have honest scales, an honest ephah, and an honest bath. The ephah and the bath shall be of the same measure, so that the bath contains one-tenth of a homer, and the ephah one-tenth of a homer. Their measure shall be according to the homer. The shekel shall be 20 gerahs, 20 shekels, 25 shekels, and 15 shekels shall be your minah. This is the offering which you shall offer. You shall give 1/6 of an ephah from a homer of wheat, 1/6 of an ephah from a homer of barley. The ordinance concerning oil, the bath of oil, is 1/10 of a bath from a kor. A kor is a homer of 10 baths. Baths, for 10 baths are a homer. And one lamb shall be given from a flock of 200 from the rich pastures of Israel. These shall be for grain offerings, burnt offerings, peace offerings, to make atonement for them, says the Lord God. All the people of the land shall give this offering for the prince in Israel. Then it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings, grain offerings, and drink offerings at the feasts, the new moons, the Sabbaths, and at all the appointed seasons of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering, the grain offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offerings to make atonement for the house of Israel. And then there's the unintentional sin. Thus says the Lord God, in the first month, on the first day of the month, you shall take a young bull without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. The priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering and put it on the doorposts of the temple, on the four corners of the ledge of the altar, and on the gateposts of the gate of the inner court. And so you shall do on the seventh day of the month for everyone who has sinned unintentionally or in ignorance. Thus you shall make atonement for the temple. Then the Passover. The Passover is going to be observed. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you shall observe the Passover, a feast of 7 days. Unleavened bread shall be eaten. And on that day the prince shall prepare for himself and for all the people of the land a bull for a sin offering. On the 7 days of the feast he shall prepare a burnt offering to the Lord, 7 bulls and 7 rams without blemish, and a kid daily for 7 days, and a kid of the goats daily for a sin offering. And he shall prepare a grain offering of 1 ephah for each bull, and 1 ephah for each ram, together with a hin of oil for each ephah. In the 7th month, on the 15th day of the month, at the feast, he shall do likewise for 7 days, according to the sin offering, the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the oil. Well, next, in chapter 46, there'll be other worship regulations covered, along with the movements of the prince, where he goes, what he does, and so on. The prince himself has to give offerings, letting you know again, this is not Jesus that we're talking about, because Jesus gave himself as the offering for sin. And that's where all these offerings will look back to, by the way. I'll keep reminding you of that. Even though Moses talked about atonement and how you had to do this for your sins to be forgiven and so on, even that never forgave sin until Jesus came. Jesus is the one who forgives sins. And these sacrifices will look back to that. I want to thank you so much for standing with me during this time. I notice it's very obvious that my listenership has sunk into a pit of some sort. We're way down. And that's okay. I'm committed to giving you the whole story of what's coming, so that when you pray, "Thy kingdom come," next time in the Lord's Prayer, you'll have a vision of all these different things that are coming and get excited about it every time you pray, because His will is going to be done on earth as it is done in heaven right now. Of course, we are the kingdom people right now, and we want God's will to be done in us and in the church now. But that's not the fullness of that prayer that you're praying. There's a kingdom coming, and His will is going to be done perfectly. Well, let's see here. We have some other things to look at, and that's the 4,000. No, not 4,000. It's 3,400 audios featuring some of the church's great preachers and persecution stories and Bible studies. And then you can go over to my Pastorlands at YouTube. You can write me an email and I'll tell you all about our Zoom meetings. bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. We're doing some things that we'd like to share with you if you so desire. I hope that you will. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and this audio is being released on the 20th of October, 2022. And Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.